Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on episode 127 of Lakers Carpool, where we're talking all things Lakers basketball. The Lakers, since my last episode, have lost a game to the Kings. They beat the Magic, and tonight I'm recording 4 o'clock-ish Pacific time. Tonight the Lakers take on the Clippers for the first matchup against the Clippers this season. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Kings and Magic game, some good, some bad, with those games, and then we're going to talk a little preview with the Clippers. So let's just jump right on into it. So the Lakers lost to the Kings in overtime up in Sacramento, and then they had a back-to-back and had to play back home against the Magic. So there were some challenges in that game, but the Lakers were able to pull out the win against the Magic, which was great. The loss to the Kings was pretty frustrating. It was a very winnable game. The Kings are a good team. You know, I talked about in my last episode the key to the Lakers being able to, you know, pull out a win against the Kings was going to be slowing the pace down a little bit, slowing down De'Aaron Fox and just how the Kings are going to try and push the ball and push the ball and push the ball. Where the Lakers, while they're at their best a lot of times when they're able to get stops defensively, push fast breaks and all that kind of stuff, they're not quick enough to run with Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox and all that stuff. So, I wanted to see the Lakers slow the game down a little bit, or at least fit the game within their own pace offensively, get some stops defensively. Ultimately ended up losing by 5, 132 to 127, which was pretty, just frustrating. The Lakers were losing the entire game pretty much, and then they made a push. They were leading the game for some bits of it, and then forced overtime and then couldn't get it done in overtime. So just a frustrating loss overall. So I did get one text in post game after the Kings game, and the text read, very bad rebounding leading to buckets for the Kings destroyed us this game, which is very true. Bad rebounding overall. I'm pulling up the box score now just so we can kind of go through it really quickly. And page not found. That's weird. So, Anthony Davis had a good game. He 30 points, 16 rebounds on 11 for 22 shooting. LeBron James had a good game, 27 points on 11 for 19 shooting, 15 rebounds, 8 assists. Overall rebounding, 53 rebounds to there. Well, we actually out-rebounded them. So I think there were just key moments where they got... Let's see what their offensive rebounds were at. 6 offensive rebounds versus we had 8. Yeah, overall, I think honestly our rebounding was, looking at the box score, our rebounding was technically better, but I do think our rebounding was not great in some key aspects of the game, like key areas where we needed to get a stop, where we needed to, you know, they would get an offensive rebound, kick it out to Malik Monk for a 3 and he'd hit it, something like that, you know. So overall, just ill-timed offensive rebounds, allowing ill-timed offensive rebounds, things like that. Christian Wood only played 14 minutes in that game, and Gabe Vincent played 32 minutes. There was a lot of talk about and complaining about Gabe Vincent's play. There was a point in the game, I'm trying to remember if this was in overtime or in regulation, where I think it was in regulation. The Lakers had just tied the game, I think, and Gabe Vincent's playing up on, I can't remember if it was Malik Monk or Fox. I think De'Aaron Fox, he like twisted his ankle, sprained his ankle, and he went out for a little bit, but I think he came back in. Anyways, Gabe Vincent's playing up on him in the back, you know, they hadn't even crossed half court yet. He's just trying to pressure the ball, which is fine. I like to see them playing defense and pressuring the ball and that stuff. But he pressured so much that he fouled him, like 60 feet from the basket. And they're in the bonus, so they got free throws. Thankfully, we were able to go down. And I think that was right when LeBron drove to the basket and tied the game and forced overtime. So that was annoying to see from Gabe Vincent. He offensively didn't do much. Only took three shots, went one for three, missed both of his three-point attempts, only had 2 points offensively. Austin Reeves continued to struggle in that game, 1 for 12 from the field, only 1 for 8 from three, only had 5 points, and was a team low minus 12 on the game. So Austin Reeves is going through something right now, and he is definitely struggling. Those struggles, I think, continued even into the Orlando game as well. But yeah, the bright spots were LeBron and Anthony Davis, 30 points, 27 points. Torian Prince came in. He had 20 points in the game, 7 for 17 from the field. He did have a minus 10 on the game. Anthony Davis had a minus 10 on the game. The only ones that had the only players for the Lakers that had positive plus minuses were Rui Hachimura, who was plus 9. Christian Wood was plus 12. Gabe Vincent was plus 4, so although he did make some mistakes and he didn't play well offensively necessarily, he was still a plus 4. But yeah, so overall, just like not a great performance from the Lakers against the Kings. You know, we got Sabonis into foul trouble. We even fouled him out of the game. There was other players that had foul trouble for the Kings. De'Aaron Fox hurt his ankle and was struggling, and we didn't keep attacking the basket. You know, we just kept jacking up threes, especially in overtime. I think maybe the team was just tired, and I don't know. I mean, we shot 45. No, that can't be right. Yeah. 45 three-pointers. We went 15 for 45, shot 33% on the night. The thing is, and I was thinking about this after the Magic game, that the Lakers really ideally should be shooting probably like, they should probably be shooting like, I don't know, 20 to 25 three-pointers a game. 25 is the max. You know, you look down at their players, right, and you have, you know, you can kind of break it out, right? Like five three-point attempts from Reeves and Russell, that's 10. Three from LeBron, that's 13. Torian Prince shot 13 threes. He should not be shooting more than probably 5 three-pointers. Two for Anthony Davis, maybe 3. Rui Hachimura, 3 to 4. Christian Wood, maybe like 2. Gabe Vincent, maybe 3 to 4, you know? So you go down the list, and I wasn't keeping track in my head, but more or less it comes out to probably like around 25 threes, you know? The thing is like, we're probably the best three-point shooting, like we probably have the best three-point shooters on our team that we've had in a long time, between D'Lo, Rui Hachimura, the way he's been shooting threes, Reeves in theory. I mean, I know he's struggling, but Reeves, Torian Prince, Christian Wood, Gabe Vincent, right? Like, these guys are like probably the best three-point shooters we've had on the Lakers in a long time, you know? So in that sense, it's like, yeah, shoot the threes. Let's get our rhythm in. Let's become a consistently good three-point shooting team. But also at the same time, like, we're just, for whatever reason, not a consistently good three-point shooting team, even with these guys, D'Lo and Reeves and Prince and Gabe Vincent and Rui, Christian Wood, AD, LeBron, right? Like, these are guys that should be able to shoot closer to 40% from three in a game, in my opinion. But we haven't seen it happen yet this season. And when it does, if it does click, then that'll really add another element to this Lakers offense that has really been missing lately. But 45 three-pointers is just too much, especially against a team like the Kings, right? Like, you have, they have Sabonis, who's a big guy. They have Harrison Barnes. He's a big body. They had JaVale McGee off the bench, but they're not like a, they're not a big team, you know, like their best players are Herter, Fox, Malik Monk, Sabonis. You know, Sabonis is a big dude, you know, he's 6'10", right? But he's not like a bruiser type player. Like he's not like a Joel Embiid or something, you know? So the fact that we shot 45 threes and didn't just continuously attack the basket and keep getting more and more of them into foul trouble, attack the basket, keep attacking the basket after Sabonis got fouled out, you know, like settling for 45 threes is just where the, in my opinion, where we went wrong. And obviously like we had bad performances too. You know, we shot, Austin Reeves was bad. D'Angelo Russell was, I'd give him like a C plus in that game. You know, he had 17 points, 5 for 13, but only hit 1 3 out of 5 3-point attempts. So overall, just like not a great offensive performance from the team again. You know, we've really been struggling offensively to start off this season. This was only three, you know, this is only the third game of the season. So take certain things with a grain of salt, but like still at a certain point, got to snap the line and be like, okay, this is what this team is, and this is what they can do and what they can't do. And so far, offensively, we've been struggling. So, like, when you have a team with LeBron and Anthony Davis and guys that can get to the hoop, even Taurean Prince and D'Lo, Rui Hachimura, Christian Wood, these are all guys that can attack the basket. So let's set up different pick-and-roll type plays, get guys cutting, get guys moving, get guys going towards the basket. That's when we're going to have the most success. And then, you know, if we kick it out and we can get D'Lo or Gabe Vincent or Austin Reeves or Rui or, you know, someone, whoever's off the ball to like hit a corner three or hit a three in, you know, 25 attempts total a game, then I feel like that's perfect, you know. But this game against the Kings, there was just too much 3-point shooting, in my opinion. You know, it was almost like we're trying to keep up with them, right? Like they shot 48 threes and they didn't shoot particularly well either. They shot just about the same as us. They went 17 for 48, 35% from three, so a little better than, and then how we did. They hit 17, we hit 15 on three less attempts from them, compared to them. So, shot similarly, but it was almost like we were playing, trying to play their style of basketball as opposed to just playing and doing what we can do. And part of this is coaching, right? Part of this is the game plan. Part of it is just, sometimes in a basketball game, it's easy to like get caught up in the flow of the game and whatever team is controlling the flow of the game, just kind of going along and playing how they've been playing and all that stuff. So part of it is just flow of the game and not actively trying to control that, which was something that we had talked about before. So overall, it's a disappointing loss because it felt like a very winnable game. I know Sacramento is still a good team, right? Like De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, like these are all good players. It would have been a good win for the Lakers if they were able to pull it out. But unfortunately, it got pushed to overtime. You know, LeBron played 39 minutes. AD played 42 minutes. Taurean Prince played 41 minutes. D'Lo played 41 minutes. And then we had a back-to-back against the Magic the next day back in LA. So jumping over to the Magic game, Lakers got that win 106-103. Barely survived. You know, we'd played decently well at the beginning of the game. We pulled up, you know, got up to like 10, like a 10 point lead or so. And then there was a point where we subbed LeBron out and everything went down the drain. And at that point, the Lakers really were struggling. You know, we gave up 34 points in the second quarter. This was the first time where we had been leading a game after the first quarter, which was, you know, at least a good start. But then gave up 34 points in the second quarter. And so far in the first four games of the season, we have yet to be leading at halftime in a game. So that's not great either. You know, I feel like this team is always playing from behind, which is annoying and frustrating. Again, it's still early, but, you know, there's enough talent on this team that playing against a team like the Magic, we should be the ones in the driver's seat for the majority of the game. And sure, maybe a game gets close towards the tail end of the game. You know, the other team makes a push and the game gets close. But a team like the Magic, we should be able to be leading that game, or like leading most of the game and being in the driver's seat, but that wasn't exactly the case. In this game, Rui Hachimura did not play. He, I guess, had been hit in the eye or something in the Kings game before and was having some sensitivity to light and things like that. So he didn't play. It sounds like he won't be available to play again tonight against the Clippers, which is unfortunate. So we're having a few, you know, some early injury troubles. But overall, Anthony Davis was like, Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, and Christian Wood, I would say, were the two bright spots, or the three bright spots in this game. Anthony Davis had 26 points, 19 rebounds, 5 assists on 12 of 18 shooting. D'Lo had 28 points, 8 assists on 10 of 14 shooting, and 3 for 6 from 3. And then Christian Wood, you know, he only had 9 points. He went 3 for 6. But I just really liked seeing the Christian Wood Anthony Davis combo, that two big, like having two bigs in the lineup. I just really like how the Lakers play and how Anthony Davis plays and how Christian Wood plays when they're both playing off of each other. And I'll talk a little bit more about this when we talk about the Clippers and what I would like to see the Lakers do against the Clippers. But I feel like Anthony Davis plays his best when he's playing alongside another big. And this is something that I'll say until I'm blue in the face. I've said this 1,000 times on this podcast. This is nothing new to those of you who listen to this podcast. But I like Anthony Davis the best when he's playing alongside another big. And Christian Wood got 27 minutes off the bench. Again, only got 9 points, but he was a plus 12 for the game, which was the highest plus minus for this game. You know, obviously it was only a 3-point game, so there weren't any crazy high plus minuses. But Austin Reeves struggled again mightily. He had 11 points in the game, played 31 minutes, went 5 for 12 from the field, only 1 for 4 from 3. And, you know, I don't really know what the thing is. You know, I've heard some people say, like, they're looking to him, or he's playing a little more off the ball, whereas last year he was kind of given the green light to do a little more creating offensively. You know, I think he's just having a hard time maybe fitting in with the new lineups that we have here. And even though the team's still the same across the board in a lot of ways, it seems like he's not attacking the basket as much. I think part of it could even be that people have kind of figured out his game a little bit, in the sense of, like, last season his MO was to drive, get into the key, get into the lane, get guys off balance, draw fouls, get a lot of and ones, those types of things. And I think people who are guarding him are kind of seeing that and, like, are ready for it, right? Like, they're maybe trying to stay a little more in front of him, trying to stay a little more balanced, not get caught up in the air, things like that. Which, if Reeves drives to the basket, he's only 6'5", right? So if he drives to the basket and he's in the lane and goes to pump fake, tries to get someone off balance or whatever, just kind of does a hesitation move, but they don't bite at it, then he's undersized and he's down by the basket and he has to pass out, you know, pass the ball out, you know, kick it out to someone. So that's part of the problem too with Reeves right now, is he, you know, you see this in sports a lot, where, like, a team that has some sort of ingenuity about them, for a season, teams can't really figure it out or whatever. Doesn't totally make sense to me sometimes, because I'm like, well, just watch the tape, like, just figure it out in the season. But for some reason that happens, like, season to season, right, where, like, one guy does really good because they do something special or unique, and then the next season enough people have figured it out to the point where it doesn't work as much. I feel like you saw this a lot for the NFL fans, like, with maybe, like, Sean McVay. You see this with coaches a lot in football, where it's like they do something new and creative and stuff and unique, and then they go out and it works for a season, and then the next season the teams figure it out and it's not as special and unique. So I feel like that could be part of the problem with Austin Reeves as well. But either way, the Lakers need to figure something out, because our guard situation has been really bad. Gabe Vincent played a little better. He played 25 minutes off the bench, 4 for 7. He hit his first three of the season. He went 1 for 3 from 3 for 9 points. He was a plus 10 on the game. So, I mean, shout out to Christian Wood and Gabe Vincent for having our two best plus minuses and coming off the bench. that's nice to see. You know, the thing is with plus minus is it's hard to like, I like it and I don't like it for certain reasons, right? Because like Anthony Davis was by far probably like the biggest key to the game for us, right? 26 points, 19 rebounds, shot really efficiently, but he was a minus two in the game, which makes it seem worse. I mean, to be fair, like the Lakers did struggle in this game and there's no reason that we should have only beat the Magic by three, you know? And part of that had to do with the 80 minutes where LeBron was off the court, right? Like LeBron was, he only had 19 points, but he was a plus five. And that's been something that people have been talking about this season so far too, in these first four games, is like the non-LeBron minutes. Like when Anthony Davis is like the prime option offensively, the team seems to be struggling a little bit, which part of that I feel like is, you know, there were multiple possessions in this game against the Magic where, you know, you would have LeBron would be off the court, Anthony Davis would be the main guy. It'd be like Reeves, D'Lo, Christian Wood, and AD, and Prince, you know, or maybe Gabe Vincent or something like that. And they'd do, you know, they'd run through like the offense and they'd run through different options and stuff. And Anthony Davis wouldn't touch the ball once, you know, like I talked about this in the last episode, is like, we need Anthony Davis to be someone that we're literally running the offense through. Like he is the first pass. He gets the first entry pass, whether it's at the free throw line, down by the block, you know, like we need Anthony Davis to step up offensively to a point where he is facilitating this offense and the offense is running through him. Not that he's just the best option for us to score if he happens to get the ball. It's like he should be the one getting the ball. He should be the one making the first decision, whether it's him attacking the basket, shooting, passing, whatever. And that has not been happening nearly enough in those minutes where he is the sole and main superstar on the floor for the Lakers. So that's a little tough, and that's what leads to that, you know, minus two plus minus for Anthony Davis. So, but overall, I mean, he's still stats wise and stuff played really well and everything. And let's see, looking down at like the shooting. So we shot 53% from the field, only 29% from three. We did take much, you know, almost 20 less three pointers in this game against Orlando than we did against the Kings. We shot 27 threes. We went 8 for 27, which is much closer to the 3-point attempts that I think the Lakers should be at, like I talked about. And I mean, I still think 27 is a little too much, right? Like 25 max is in my mind. I remember thinking that like in this game we were down in the third and fourth quarter trying to make a comeback. We eventually did, obviously, because we won the game. But through a lot of that time where we were trying to make that comeback, we were just jacking up threes. And, like, there's just no reason to jack up threes when you have LeBron James and you have Anthony Davis and you have Christian Wood and you have D'Angelo Russell, even, who can get to the basket. There's just no reason to not be attacking the basket as, like, your main. Like, attack the basket, and force them to foul you. This is the thing. You either get a high percentage bucket, you get fouled, or you draw the defense in and kick it out and hopefully hit an open three. And that's the thing, is like, it'd be fine. Like, and we did miss a lot of open threes against the Magic. So like, to be fair, they were kind of doing that, but it's just hard when we're, you know, for instance, like if you just feel like you don't have them from three, but you're open, you know, I know the analytics say like, don't take two dribbles in and take the mid range, but maybe just drive to the basket and try and get a layup or try and get fouled or something, you know, I don't know. Easier said than done. I get it. As someone that grew up playing basketball and stuff, like you have the open shot, it's easier just to take it. It's quicker just to take the shot than to dribble to the basket or attack the basket and do those types of things. So, offense still struggled against against Orlando, obviously. It was good that we pulled out the win. It would have been a bad loss, and it would suck to start out 1-3 as opposed to 2-2. But it was good to get the win. It was good to see Anthony Davis continue to step up. You know, the last three games, he's had 26 points, 30 points, 30 points. So, you know, offensively, Anthony Davis isn't part of the problem, in my opinion, with the Lakers. I would say it's more on our guards, right? Like, up until this Orlando game, D'Angelo Russell had been struggling, Austin Reeves struggling, Gabe Vincent still kind of getting in his rhythm. He's been good defensively, but not as good offensively, so struggling offensively. And there's been a big call from the Lakers fans to get Max Christie in the game. He didn't play against Orlando at all. Not totally sure why he wouldn't have played, but I don't know. Hopefully we see him tonight against the Clippers. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll chat a little bit about the Clippers. All right, so the Lakers play the Clippers tonight, obviously in LA. I think it is a home game technically for the Lakers, so it'll be nice to be able to see the court with the purple and gold out there. The Lakers, so the Clippers are, they are, I think, 3-1 on the season so far. They've gotten a good start, but they've also played not that many great teams. The Clippers have played, let me see, I'm trying to pull it up. So they beat Portland, they beat Utah, who did they lose to? Oh no, they lost to Utah. They beat Portland, they lost to Utah, beat San Antonio, and beat the Magic. So in the Magic, they were playing, the Magic were on a back-to-back against the Clippers after playing the Lakers. So they're 3-1. They haven't played too many good teams necessarily, but the big news with the Clippers, obviously, is they traded for James Harden, and so they will have, well, and I don't think James Harden will be playing tonight against the Lakers, but in theory, you know, going on the rest of the season, they'll have Kawhi, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, James Harden as like their big four in a way. The big three is really Paul George, James Harden, and Kawhi, and then Russ is kind of there. But personally, I, you know, if I was the Clippers, I don't know. I'm in the vein of the same thought process as like people like Bill Simmons and stuff, where I'm like, I'm not a huge James Harden guy. James Harden has yet to prove that he can get past like the second or third round in the playoffs. He hasn't proven that he can be a championship winning or caliber superstar. He quits on teams, he requests trades, he seems to have done more bad than good for the teams that he has been on. Ultimately, like, if you're, of course, like, in the regular season, he's been great, and like, he'll be good and for part of the playoffs, and but then he'll just kind of disappear and they'll lose, and then he'll get mad and request a trade or something, you know. So as a Lakers fan, you know, seeing James Harden in the Clippers, part of me, I'm like a little worried about it, because I'm like, well, maybe this will work. Maybe this is what James Harden needs, to play alongside Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and they'll go and stay healthy and be really good. And then part of me is like, well, the Clippers are cursed. James Harden seems to be cursed. And so it's like a match made in heaven. So, you know, part of me is like, well, hopefully they just don't cancel each other out and actually do well. So, but that's besides the point, because I don't think he's playing against the Lakers tonight. So it'll be an interesting game, because in the James Harden trade, you know, the Clippers traded Batum. They traded, who all was in that trade? There was like a handful of guys got traded. Batum is the one that just comes to mind right away. Let me pull up the James Harden trade. So the Clippers got PJ Tucker and James Harden. Okay, so 76ers sent Harden, PJ Tucker, and Petrušev to the Clippers for Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, Nick Batum, KJ Martin, 2028 unprotected first round pick, 2 second round picks, 2029 pick swap, additional first round pick from the OKC Thunder. So the picks we don't really care about right now. We're just talking about like the personnel and stuff. So in this trade, they traded away four guys in Marcus Morris, Covington, Batum, KJ Martin. I don't know how much play time KJ Martin was getting, but you know, Marcus Morris, Covington, and Nick Batum were like pretty heavy rotation guys for the Clippers. So they're losing that depth in that sense. They're getting PJ Tucker, who I would imagine he also wouldn't play tonight, but I could see a world where he plays tonight because they need it, but they don't push James Harden to play tonight. You know, I don't know. So all that being said is like, who is actually going to play for the Clippers, you know? So looking at who the Clippers played in their game against the Magic last night, let's see. So they had, their starters were Bones Highland, Russell Westbrook, Zubats, Kawhi, and Paul George. And then off the bench they had Plumlee, Norman Powell, and Kobe Brown. And I'm not going to pronounce his name right. Diabate. I guess we only got 3 minutes. So I would imagine that the rotation will look very similar against the Lakers. Oh, and Coffee got 10 minutes. Amir Coffee. I would imagine that their rotation looks very similar against the Lakers. So, you know, at the end of the day, Bones Highland, Russell Westbrook, Zubats, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, that's a pretty formidable starting five still, right? Like, they still went out and beat Orlando by 16. Paul George had 27 points. Kawhi only had 8 points. He did not have a good game. Russ had 18 points. Bones Highland had 17 points. Norman Powell had 17 points off the bench. So they're still able to have, they still have guys out there that can get buckets, right? Like, this team is, in Bones Highland, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi, Paul George, just those four guys alone in the starting lineup are guys that are all bucket getters. They're all going to get, you know, they're all going to be able to go and get a bucket if they need to, more or less. Well, you know, obviously, like, there's criticisms on Russell Westbrook. Like, can he get a bucket whenever he wants to? Probably not, no. But they're, you know, ball heavy, need the ball in their hands type players. And then, like, Zubats is, like, a formidable big that can give trouble to guys like Anthony Davis and stuff. Like, not that he's better than Anthony Davis, but they're just, you know, Anthony Davis sometimes struggles against guys that can kind of, like, just get physical with him. So, hopefully, and so this brings me back to what I was saying about the two big lineup for the Lakers. Like, I want to see against this Clippers team, who generally play small outside of Zubats, I want to see Christian Wood and Anthony Davis play alongside each other for a lot, you know, a good chunk of minutes in this game. I want to see the Lakers work on just kind of trying to pound the ball down the Clippers' throats, attack the basket, attack the basket, attack the basket, defensively, right? Like, so in this game, so Jared Vanderbilt's still hurt. Rui Hachimura is hurt. Gabe Vincent, I think, is doubtful to play for the Lakers, so we're also a little thin from a roster standpoint. So, like, you think, who's going to guard Kawhi and Paul George? Well, you could put Taurean Prince on one of them, even though he's a little undersized. You could put LeBron on one of them, but LeBron's a little old. You know, who else do you put on him? Well, you know, you could rotate Anthony Davis on one of them. He can guard them around the perimeter. But if you pull Anthony Davis out to guard one of them, then who's protecting the basket? Well, then that'd be great if you have Christian Wood there. Or vice versa. Christian Wood proved to us against the Suns that he can guard the likes of Kevin Durant or around the perimeter. So maybe you throw Christian Wood on Paul George, and, you know, it's a defensive mismatch for Christian Wood. Like, Christian Wood doesn't have the advantage in that situation, but then you have Anthony Davis roaming around protecting the basket, and that might help. You know, it might take away the three from Paul George, and then having Anthony Davis roaming around and protecting the basket might also take away any drives or mid-range from Paul George as well, you know. So that's kind of my thought process there, is, like, even though the Clippers might play a little small, I would love to see the Lakers play big. Christian Wood and Anthony Davis are guys that can run with teams that play small. You know, like, that's the best part about Anthony Davis, is Anthony Davis, you can play him any which way. He's very versatile. You can play him in a small ball lineup. You can play him in a big man lineup. But either way, the reason you can play him in a small ball lineup is because he can run with the smaller guys. Christian Wood's similar. You know, Christian Wood is similar. He can run. He can keep up with the smaller guys. He might not be he's not nearly as good of a defender as Anthony Davis is, you know, one-on-one. But he at least has the motor, I think, to, like, keep up with a small ball type lineup. He can hold his own, I think, against someone like Paul George. Kind of like he showed with Kevin, playing defense on Kevin Durant. And the best thing about having Anthony Davis on your team is he kind of is the, like, the cleanup guy. You know, like, if obviously you don't want guys to get beat on the perimeter, but if they do, you have Anthony Davis there. You know, and obviously you have to have the defensive rotations all figured out. If you have Anthony Davis leaving his man to help or things like that, you have to have someone drop down and take his man, and that can create mismatches as well, and things can get confusing. But overall, Anthony Davis is the ultimate cleanup man who can help fix your mistakes. You know, it's almost like the, what is it, like Control Z on your keyboard is like to just go back and like fix it or whatever. It's like he's like the ultimate like control Z or like Control X or whatever, you know. He can just fix all your mistakes. And so that's part of the reason why I'd love to see Christian Wood and Anthony Davis continue to get more minutes together, especially against a team like the Clippers, because in this particular situation too, where you're missing your two best wing defenders in Rui and Jared Vanderbilt. I mean, I know you have Torian Prince, who's up there as well. Like, we have, this is nice because the Lakers have, between LeBron is hit and miss. Like, when LeBron puts his head down and he wants to play good defense, he can, right? But like, we have guys that can guard the wing position in LeBron, Torian Prince, Jared Vanderbilt, and Rui Hachimura. But in this game, two of those guys are out. And then obviously LeBron is LeBron, right? He's older. He doesn't always play great defense, but sometimes he does. And then you have Torian Prince, who is a good defender, or can be a good defender, but is also a little undersized in that sense. So you bring in someone like Christian Wood, who, again, he's not a great defender by all means, but he did prove to us against the Suns that he can guard the likes of Kevin Durant. So why not give him a chance and see what he can do guarding someone like Paul George? If he gets beat, he gets beat, and then you go back and you know, fix it up or whatever. But I saw some people saying, like, you know, Max Christie's going to have to guard Kawhi or Paul George. And I'm like, is he, though? You know, like, does he have to? If you have Christian Wood and Anthony Davis and LeBron and Torian Prince, like, Max Christie's only 6'5". He's not necessarily a big guy. Maybe you see how he does. You put him up against him for a little bit and see how he does. But, like, Max Christie doesn't have to guard those guys. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I think I'd rather experiment with putting Christian Wood on those guys or Anthony Davis than someone like Max Christie or Austin Reeves. But we'll see what happens. I mean, the thing is I would like to say that the Lakers will win this game. I feel like this is my answer for all the games, all my predictions. It's like, I'd like to say that the Lakers will win. I think that there's a good chance that they can win, but the Lakers have like an 11-game losing streak to the Clippers dating back a few seasons. So that doesn't make me feel good. Obviously, our offense has struggled, so we have to, you know, figure out our offense. If we don't settle for a bunch of threes and we attack the basket, I do like our chances. And if we can find a way to slow down and shut down Paul George and Kawhi, then yeah, we'll win this game. But obviously, easier said than done. There's a reason why we haven't beat the Clippers for, you know, like 11 games or whatever the streak is right now. So I would love to say that we'll win. We'll see. I don't feel the best about it, but we'll, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, if the Lakers get a win, then everyone will say, well, they have a depleted roster because of the trade and they couldn't play James Harden, blah, 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 blah. And if we lose, then it's like, oh, will the Lakers ever beat the Clippers? Oh, you think the Lakers are contenders? It's like, yeah, you know, whatever. So it's a lose-lose situation for the Lakers, even if they win. but you know, there's no reason why the Lakers shouldn't win this game if they can do some of the things that we talked about in terms of just making the offense simple, attacking the basket, shooting, you know, maybe kick out threes, open threes in that sense, and figuring out, you know, just playing, staying in front of Kawhi and Paul George, and you know, Russell Westbrook is kind of the wild card in that sense, where like he could go off for 30 points and kill us, and he's also not the easiest to guard, but he could also shoot himself in the foot and shoot the ball off the backboard 5 times in the game. So you never know what you're going to get from Russell Westbrook, but I'm sure he's going to have a chip on his shoulder to come out and try and play really well against the Lakers. So hopefully the Lakers can get a win. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts after the game. If you give us a text to our text line at 424-242-3076, we will talk about your post-game thoughts after the Lakers-Clippers game tonight on our next episode. I appreciate you all for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends.
You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!